It's the elephant in the room. Military pay and benefits are overwhelming the Defense Department's budget. But Congress doesn't want to cut them, so it appoints an independent commission to do so by next February. Alfonso Maldon is the chairman of that commission. He says, for a year now, the nine members have reviewed everything from recruitment to retirement, paychecks and housing allowance to health care.
We've been conducting public hearings. We've been conducting town hall meetings since the session. We have other means of collecting data, doing a lot of analysis, a lot of modeling, talking to many organizations here within Washington and across the country, like the Veterans Service Organizations, Veterans Coalition groups, military coalition groups. We're talking to think tanks and the people within the Defense Department. We're not in Veterans Service Organizations and Veterans Hospitals, health commercial hospitals, military hospitals, service members, family members. So it's a very, very comprehensive process.
So what's the takeaway from everything you've done over the past year? What conclusion have you come to?
We haven't come to a conclusion yet because the process was, you know, is still ongoing here, quite candidly. But up to this point, I mean, we're finding that, you know, service members are very interested in wanting very good health care. We believe people believe that cash is important. They want good quality of life, and they want to make sure that they don't lose benefits. I believe that they've waited a long time to get to accumulate the benefits and to be paid for, to at least contributed or compensated fairly. And they believe that they, for the most part, I think a lot of the military believe that they are there. And, of course, they don't want to lose benefits. They don't want to. A lot of the people have told us that they do not want the budgets to be balanced in the backs of the military families and military members. I think that's some of the message that we're getting, but, you know, their process is still ongoing, and we're still collecting data all the time, Emily.
Now, nobody wants compensation cut ever. I mean, that's against human nature. And yet everybody agrees, at least outside of the military members themselves, perhaps, that compensation costs are getting out of control, if you include health care in the military. So are there any areas at this point that look at least promising for where some reform could be made?
I think it would be premature to say at this point that, or to speculate on the specifics of what our recommendations may look like based on where we are at this point in time. But I think what we are finding is that, you know, as we kind of go through this, I think it is fair to say that you know, they're going, we're really focusing on ensuring all beneficiaries have greater access to health care, improving the quality of services that are provided, and protecting the medical readiness of not only the active component, but the reserve and the National Guard component as well. So as we're looking at all of those and trying to find out exactly where are the opportunities here that this commission can actually improve the effectiveness of some of those programs, policies, and are there areas that we can actually improve efficiencies in those areas? And so those are the areas that we're focused on, and we're doing it in a very, I think, a comprehensive way by putting everything on the table and taking a look at everything and seeing how it links together with the regard to the benefits and what can be improved. We're talking to all the experts, subject matter experts, that's responsible for these programs and policies. And so we're going to have a very, very good understanding at the end of the day here before we actually submit a final report as to what where the areas of opportunities and what we need to do. The three things that we really focus on here with this commission, and number one, our primary goal here going at this is to ensure that the uniformed services can maintain the most professional all-volunteer force that they possibly can and provide a high quality of life for the service members and uniformed services and their families. And also, we're very conscientious about making sure that we can ensure that these compensation and retirement systems are financially sustainable going into the future. We understand that as we craft some kind of an integrated compensation and personnel system, that they must continue to be valued by the service members. They must provide the flexibility to the uniformed services, and they also must be cost-effective. So that's kind of the way we go at this in every day.
We're speaking with Alfonso Maldon, Jr. He's chairman of the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission. And so when does your data gathering end, and when do you begin contemplation of all the ideas, and what will your output, what will it be expected to be?
Well, we have to submit our recommendations for modernizing compensation benefits programs to the President, to the Congress, 1 February of next year, 2015. That's our deadline date. So we are, and we'll, you know, on our way to do that. We actually will have an interim report that will actually be submitted within the next couple of weeks, and which actually kind of lay out a lot of the statement of facts as to what the way the programs are run today, and give some indication of some of the things that we're kind of looking at and that kind of thing. But this is, mindfully, this is the interim report. It's not the final report. And so now, as we turn the corner, having collected a whole lot of data, and of course there's some yet to be done and some further analysis to be done and modeling and that kind of thing. So we're still going through that process, Tom. But within the next, I'd say, 6 months, we are totally focusing now and starting to focus on coming to bring the conclusions together with our findings. I think we're going to be getting much closer to the point where we can start to making some real sense of it. We're trying to make sure that we're not premature and making some recommendations, because we are really looking at this in a long-term way. We're kind of taking an over-the-horizon look. It's a very strategic approach. As we go at this and making and thinking of it, when we align compensation systems, we must do them based on what the changes in the force are, what the service members' preferences, and what they value. As in terms of, you know, looking at the upcoming generation, looking at technology, all we take all of that in consideration. So, as you can see from just that, we totally are looking at this in a very strategic way.
Can you preview any of the things that you'll be saying in that interim report coming out soon?
Well, we're wanting to make sure that we've helped people to understand exactly what are the benefits of the programs as they are now. So this will be a statement of facts in terms of exactly what the current policies are, what those benefits are, what those programs are. And my personal opinion is a very good reference tool for anyone to be able to go to and see what those benefits are, see the timing of them, when they came about and why they came about, and what those benefits are. I think it's going to be good for all military service members and families to take. They'll have a good, you know, not that they don't now, but people will be able to go there and say, here's a good reference tool for me to see what my benefits are, what I'm getting today, and when these changes came about and all of that. So then the next turn is to start to really talking about, I mean, that's when we work on exactly, okay, what has happened. They've worked for decades here, and they may have been the best programs and policies for the time that they were put in place. And as we were putting these policies in place to support your force structure, but is it the right thing today? Are these the right programs? Are these the right benefits now? And how does the service members rate and value these benefits, you know, for where are their preferences? And that's why we're going to do a survey, and the survey that was launched this week is to do that, hopefully, to get us right to the crux of what the service members prefer. What are their preferences here in terms of values and benefits?
Sure. So can you envision possibly the establishment maybe of a two-tier system, like so many private sector outfits have done, where nothing really is going to fundamentally change for the people already in, but for everyone that joins, say, after January 1st, 2017, or I'm just making that up, they would have a different system so that over the long, long term, some of these costs could be controlled, and yet it would still be effective for the mission.
Yes. In fact, in fiscal year 13, National Defense Authorization Act, this commission, we cannot make any changes to the retirement for those people that are already serving on active duty or for those that have already retired. Before any recommendations are enacted, we can't. That's for retirement, and that doesn't mean that that's the case for any of the other benefits. But certainly, for those people that are already on active duty, this is retirement. This commission is not allowed to make any changes there by law. But there are, and as far as other benefits and things, and certainly we can take a look at it, and we are taking a look at it, and would make some and our recommendations will be made based on whether we believe that they are working right, are they as cost effective as they possibly could be, and is there a better way to provide the same value at a lower cost and just the cost effectiveness is along those lines. So to answer your question directly, anyone that comes on active duty after these recommendations are adopted, of course, they will be their benefits would be affected by those recommendations if in fact they're adopted.
As we speak, I'm struck by how much pressure you must feel when you go out to these town hall meetings and hear from soldiers or perhaps people who want to enter military careers and then come back to Washington where they're talking about budget pressures. So what sense, if any, do you have from the political leaders that your recommendations won't just sit on a shelf after you publish them?
It is certainly my hope that that won't be the case. I think the all indications that we have gotten from the very beginning and that I've gotten is that if we, this commission, do a comprehensive job here, I mean a very comprehensive review of all the programs as we are doing, and if we can put a comprehensive list of recommendations on the table that make sense and not do things that make changes and revisions and prisms or recommendations in prism, but you do it so that the whole system has been looked at carefully. I believe that they are, I mean, I have to believe, as I believe all of the members of our commission believe, because we are working very hard at this, is to, we believe that those recommendations will be taken seriously because we are, I mean, we've given it the best look that we possibly can. We believe that we're very, very thorough at this, and it's all going to be based on evidence, in fact. So it is our hope, and it certainly is my belief that the Congress will act accordingly.